Now, our Father, thank you for allowing us to be fathers. We thank you, God, for the wives and the children that you've blessed us with. We thank you, God, for raising us up. Father, on this Father's Day, I pray a special blessing on all these men. I pray, God, that you will give them wisdom. I pray, Father, that you will give them fortitude, that you will guide them. That, Father, every single one of us will be a great representation of you to our families. Father, give us the ability to continue to provide for our families. Help us to continue to lead our families spiritually. Help us to lead our wives and our kids and our grandkids and all of our descendants, Father, before your throne one day. Father, that is our goal. That is our desire. This world has nothing for us. I pray, God, that we'll always focus on you. Father, bless these men and watch over them in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. A couple of housekeeping stuff before I get into the message this morning. And sorry, brothers, we don't get a... We are going to have a sermon. I know on Mother's Day, usually, you know, I let us out of here. But you guys don't get that treatment. You know, a little kid was asked one time, what's the difference between Father's Day and Mother's Day? The young man said, well, it's just like Mother's Day, except that you don't spend a lot on the presents. But we love you guys. And you get out in time to get to the restaurant. The restaurants are now crowded on Father's Day. But let's see. We got a sister visiting from the church in Louisville, Kentucky. Andrea Walker, where are you? Can I have you stand up? Welcome. Also, I want to remind us that on Thursday, we're going to have a midweek by family group. We all know that, right?
Yes.
That's this coming Thursday. So if you go to the usual location, there's going to be something going on over there, and that's not us. And so we don't have the building this Thursday, and so we're going to be in our family groups. Already, your family group leader should have informed you of where the location is going to be. All right? If they haven't done that, make sure you talk to them after service. Okay? We are going to meet by family groups for midweek this week. Amen?
Amen?
This morning, I want to talk about God's final word. Jesus. You know, I've stopped being surprised by the Holy Spirit. Because I realized, you know, several months ago, we put this series together that we are now doing for our Sunday morning classes. And I had no idea that today we're going to be talking about the names of God. I know I saw the schedule weeks ago, but what I'm about to start talking about, I had prepared, you know, in the last week when I was going to Nigeria. And so when Jeff stood up this morning and started talking about this stuff, and I was like, I just smiled. I said, okay, God, there you go again. And the Holy Spirit is awesome. The Father is awesome. Jesus is awesome. They're all awesome. All three of them together, they're just awesome. But again, I want to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day. You are to be applauded for not being absentee fathers. You are to be applauded for being godly men and trying to raise your families like God says to do it. That takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of courage. Because anybody can bring a child into this world. It takes godly men and righteous men to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And we're going to be reading from verses 1 to 4. And this is going to be our text for the day. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir over all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. It says here that in the past, God spoke to our forefathers or ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. It says in the past, God spoke. God spoke because he wanted to communicate with his creation. Remember, as Jeff even referenced this morning, in the book of Genesis, God created the world and spoke all this stuff you and I see out of nothing. And then at some point he says, let us make man in our image. And he made you and I in his image. God didn't just create us. He wanted and he wants to communicate with us. The reason why God spoke was for fellowship. I'm going somewhere with this. Think about this for a second. The creator of the universe, the great I am, the God who's always existed, who no one has seen and can't see. This God not only created us, he wanted to talk to us. You can't even get an appointment with the president if you tried. Obama doesn't want to talk to you. Now you can talk to him by writing him a letter. And good luck if they reply you. I wrote one a few months ago. I'm still waiting for my reply. I was giving him my views about comprehensive immigration reform. And at the end, I said, you know what? All this gay rights stuff, I think you need to stay out of that kind of conversation and leave that talk to people like us. I'm sure he didn't like that part. But you can't even talk to the CEO of your company just like that. And yet, the Almighty, in all of his majesty and glory, wants to talk to you and me. If that doesn't get you fired up, you got problems. Knowing that other humans will not even give you the time of day. And yet this God that we serve wants to talk to us, wants to have fellowship with us, wants to communicate with us. You see, in the past, he spoke through angels. In the past, he spoke through prophets. In the past, he spoke through priests. In the past, he spoke through other ordained people. In the past, he spoke through his actions. Like the parting of the Red Sea and the falling of the walls of Jericho and stuff like that. But it says, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. You know, in the past,
He would send messengers. And he says, you know what? I got to go myself. He took on this flesh, this body, and he came himself. Oh, man, oh, man. You know, there's a big difference when your boss sends you a message through somebody else in the company. There's something else when the boss decides to leave his office from the top floor. And then he comes down to the fifth floor where you're at. And he walks in and wants to talk to you directly. Oh, my goodness. That's what God did in sending Jesus. And so you ask yourself the question, why did he come himself? Why did he see the need to come himself? Because you and I are that important. The message is trying to get through to us. It is that important that he says, I gotta go myself. So that you and I can have this fellowship. Remember, before sin came into the world, there was perfect fellowship. There were no dropped calls or missed calls between Adam and Eve and God before sin came into the picture. And when sin came into the picture, he says, you know what? Now we got a communication problem. I got to go myself to restore that fellowship, to restore that closeness, which is what heaven is all about, which is what a relationship with God is all about. And when you and I understand that, how much trouble God went through on your behalf, on my behalf, it will change your life. Now look in John chapter 1. We're going to come back to Hebrews 1. In John chapter 1, a passage we're very familiar with, but let's read it together. Don't you love the Bible? Man, God communicating with us. Sinners as we are. John chapter 1, beginning verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then he starts talking about John the Baptist, but jump down to verse 14. He says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. That's amazing. Since Jesus, the Word, he was right there with God from the beginning. When God said, let us make man in our image, in Genesis chapter 1, Jesus was there, the Holy Spirit was there. Because Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 tells us that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. We're going to read the verse in a second, in Colossians chapter 1, where it talks about, it was through Jesus that God made the universe. Are you with me? And it says here that the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came. For you and I to understand the grace of God. For you and I to understand the truth of God. Once you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. This God that you and I cannot see visibly. This God that dwells in unapproachable light. This God that has always existed, that doesn't have a beginning or an end. If you put him in human form, that's Jesus. And that's why, you know, at one time in the Gospels, the apostles were asked, hey, show us God. And Jesus said, don't you understand that all this time I've been with you? That once you've seen me, you've seen God. In Hebrews that we just read, it says he was the exact representation of God's being. Exact representation. You know how it is when you look at yourself in the mirror? What do you see? You see an exact image of yourself. Okay? I don't know if you're like me. You know, you stand in front of the mirror and you go, wow. I thought I lost a few more pounds over here than I did. Images don't lie. The mirror doesn't lie. I can suck in my stomach all I want. I still got to spend more time in the gym to burn it off. Jesus was the spitting image of God. You know how you meet somebody and they introduce their child to you? I mean, this morning I met Harris's daughter. And I'll say, that's my daughter. I say, oh, she looks just like you. She's a spitting image of her mother. Jesus was the spitting image of God. When you and I read the Bible, when you and I read this book, we get a better understanding of who God is. God is so huge. One of the reasons I believe he's got so many names is because one name could never really capture him. Oh, my goodness gracious. How can you begin to understand or describe somebody that has always existed? It's not possible that our finite brains can understand infinity or pod infinity. I don't even know what that looks like. A being that just speaks and things start to happen. And despite all of his power and his majesty and his glory, he wants to have fellowship. He wants to communicate with you and me. Oh, my goodness. He says, Jesus was full of grace and truth. Jesus came to make God known to us. And guess what, people? He's going to take us our entire lives. To even to begin to understand a little bit about this being we call God. It's going to take you your entire life. Until our dying breath, we will still continue to get to know this God. That's why every day you pick up your Bible, God teaches you something new. Even after you've read the passage so many times before. But on that particular day, God says, okay, now, buckle up, because I'm going to show you something about myself that you've never seen before. There'll be some circumstance going on through your life where all of a sudden now, that verse now makes a lot of sense. You know, passages like, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. That doesn't make any sense when everything is just fine. On your birthday, when people are shouting you with gifts and talking about how great you are, that verse means nothing. All of a sudden, you walk in and your boss says, you know what, we no longer need your services. And then you go, we love you, we're going to give you a severance, whatever, you pack your stuff in your box, and you get into your car. All of a sudden, that verse jumps to your mind. It's always been there. You've heard it preached so many times. Now, God is saying now, what you going to do with this now? That's him revealing himself to you and to me. Are you with me? But you see, that's what we're talking about. Look in Matthew chapter 3. You remember what happened when Jesus was baptized? The Bible tells us that he was about 30. Okay? When he started his ministry, he went to John the Baptist, who was his cousin, to be baptized. John says, you come, you know, to be baptized by me. You should be baptizing me. And God, Jesus says, you know, we got to do this to fulfill all righteousness. He was without sin. Okay, he wasn't getting immersed in water for the forgiveness of his sins. He had no sin. He was perfect. Are you with me? But at his baptism, something interesting happened. In Matthew chapter 3, look in verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw, that is John, the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice came from heaven, said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Oh, I wish I was there. Can you imagine what that was sounded like? The voice of God. Remember, back then, like it said to us in Hebrews, in the past, God used to speak through angels and prophets. The word of God was very rare. And on this particular occasion, God saw fit to speak himself from heaven. And he says, this is my Son. Don't mess with him. That's my paraphrase. This is no ordinary person. This is my Son. With him, I am well pleased. Wow. And today, because we have his word all printed up and codified, you and I have an opportunity to hear the voice of God all day long. The question is, are we taking advantage of it? Have we become so familiar with the voice of God that we have stopped standing in awe? I know I have. It's very convicting. Can you imagine hearing that voice? Can you imagine those who were there in terms of going home and telling, you are not going to believe what just happened. Tell me, what happened? When I heard the voice of God. That's what he said. Right. Nobody would have believed them. Okay? We see a similar story in Matthew 17. On the mountain of transfiguration. God spoke again. Matthew chapter 17. In verse 4, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. You know, Elijah shows up. Okay? From nowhere. Moses also showed up. These men have been dead for hundreds of years, and there they were on the mountain. Let me tell you something. There is life after this death. Here's an example of it. Okay? Moses and Elijah show up. Peter said to Jesus, verse 4, Matthew 17, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Peter, James, and John. He says, this is my Son. Listen to him. Right. See, the question we got to ask ourselves this morning is, are we listening to Jesus? Because that's God's final word. He's not going to send somebody else. Are you with me? Jesus is the final message. There are no more messages coming after this. He tells us to listen to him. Jesus came to tell us what God was like. Are we listening? Go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. It says, but in these last days, verse 2, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. That word glory in the Greek is doxa, D-O-X-A. It's talking about God's magnificence. He's talking about God's excellence. He's talking about God's preeminence. He's talking about God's dignity. He's talking about God's majesty. Glory is that which is put forward that it can be seen and attract others. The Bible says that Jesus radiates God's glory. The reason for that is so that he can attract us to God. That's why I am very impressed with Jesus. That's my best friend, by the way. I hope he's yours too. I'm sorry, no human is my best friend. I got a lot of human best friends, and I praise God for them. I texted some of them this morning, wishing them happy Father's Day. But Jesus is my best friend. He's the one who died for me. He's the one who died for you. Are you listening to me? Okay. Jesus radiates God's glory. When something radiates, it's just constantly putting out. Constantly. Non-stop. Just putting out. Just putting out. Just putting out. And that's why it's so cool that you and I can read the scriptures, we can have our own copies, and learn to know more about this God. The reason why some of us are not growing in that relationship is because we're not spending time in the Word. I'm sorry. Everybody's got 24 hours in a day. I got 24, you got 24. The question is, how do we spend those hours? Six of them already, you're sleeping. I'm hoping you get at least 6 hours sleep. You know, take 24 from six, what you got? You got 18. The question is, okay, now we got 18 hours of waking moments. How are we spending that time? Are we spending that time at work? Obviously, a lot of us do. You go from 9 to 5, what is that, 8 hours? So we got 10 hours left. The 10 hours that are left, okay, those of us who commute, another 2 hours. We're down to 8. How do we spend those hours? Do we spend it with our families as fathers? Are we spending it with our wives? Are we spending it doing mindless stuff? Like watching television. It's not a sin to watch television. But if you're not seeing God's radiance through Jesus, through his word, and you're trying to, quote unquote, get your joy and your peace of mind from something you're watching through the tube, you got problems. Because everything on TV is make-believe. That is not reality. You know, to me, you know, they got all these shows now, they call them reality shows. They're not reality shows. People are acting. I mean, the guy knows the camera is right there in his face. They're not reality shows. So, what I'm saying is, where do we get our inspiration from? Is it from the things of this life, or is it from God's word? And yes, it's tedious. We got to do it every day. Where we ask God in prayer, Father, show me something wonderful today in your word. Oh, he always does it. And that, this is not one of these, okay, Lord, show me something wonderful today and let me just open up. No. Please do not read your Bible like that. Okay? Don't read your Bible that way. Okay? What if you open up to where it says, you know what? You curse your father, you need to be put to death. Don't read the Bible that way. Okay? But there's got to be a thirst in us. There's got to be an attitude in us wanting to get in here to find out more about this God. And the only way we're going to do it is through Jesus. Because that's what he came to do for us. Amen? God, through Jesus, wants us to know certain things about himself. That's why he came here. He says he's the exact representation of God. That's why Jesus is able to say in the Gospel of John, once you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because I and the Father are one. He says, as a matter of fact, I can't do anything except through him. What you see me doing is exactly what my Father told me to do. And he was able to say that with conviction and with confidence. Exact representation. Today being Father's Day, brothers, are we being exact representation of Jesus before our families? What kind of image of God are we portraying through our lives? I don't know about you, this is very convicting for me. Jesus represented God well. There was a little boy that was dying. He was sick. He had a terminal illness. He was about 7 years old. And his father went into the room to talk to him that, you know what, the doctors have tried everything. He was going to be dead very soon. And his father's talking to him through the tears and says, son, are you afraid to die and to meet Jesus? And the young boy, even through his tears, says, no, dad. Not if he's like you. I'm looking forward to meeting him. And his father responded, he's a whole lot more than me. But you see, as fathers, I believe that we need to radiate Jesus before our families. That's what Jesus did. He was the exact representation of God. He did not deviate 1 degree to the left or to the right. He represented and portrayed God in all of his majesty and all of his truth and glory. And I believe that as fathers, that's what one of the reasons why God made us fathers. Are you with me? Think about this for a second. Before I say that, go to Colossians chapter 1. Whoa, it's 12 o'clock already. Yeah, it is Father's Day, so you get an extra lesson. Because I'm not going to start preaching. I can tell you that right now. You can be upset with me afterwards. I know you won't. I'm almost done. Colossians chapter 1, look at this. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 15. It says, the Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood, through his blood shed on the cross. Amen? Again, he's talking about Jesus here. He says he's the image of the invisible God. He says all things were created by him and for him. Powers, thrones, municipalities, everything was created by God and for God. Are you with me? God created you and me for himself. He didn't create us for ourselves. He didn't put us on this earth to live our own selfish lives. He created us for a purpose, for his purpose. Are you with me? It's amazing to me. You know, passages like Matthew 28 in verse 18, where he reminds us that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. He had all authority. And yet, brothers and sisters, not once did he ever use his power and authority to satisfy his own needs and his own pleasures. Not once. Show me in scripture where Jesus abused the power and the authority God gave to him. Despite the fact that he had it. He was tempted. You remember, he's hanging on the cross. He's received an incredible whooping the night before. Didn't sleep the entire night. The Bible says his appearance was marred beyond human recognition. The passion of the Christ doesn't do justice what it did to him. And here he is on the cross, hanging there, dying for our sins. And a bunch of bozos are on the ground saying, "You come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." I don't know about you. If that was me, I would have just come right off. Bring it on now. I beg your pardon. That's what I would have done. But he didn't. He never abused his authority. Not once. Let me ask us as fathers. Do we abuse the authority God has given us? We're all guilty in here. Every single one of us. There are times when I'm angry with my wife. And I raise my voice. And Jesus never did that. Not once. Never. Not once. Do we abuse the power and the authority God has given us as workers in the vineyard? Here you are, God has made you able-bodied. You are not lying down in some hospital bed. God has given you power and authority to serve. Do you abuse that power by not serving? Some of us, God has really blessed us with great incomes and wealth. Do you abuse that power by not being generous? People sin against us all the time. Do we abuse that power that God has given to us by not forgiving others and not being gracious? Wow. Brothers and sisters, I can go on and on. This is very convicting for me. Not once did he abuse the power that God gave to him. Jesus communicated God perfectly. You know, an English professor put up a sentence on the board and he asked the students to punctuate the sentence. And the sentence was, "A woman without a man is nothing." All the males in the class wrote, "A woman, comma, without her man is nothing." All the females in the class wrote, "A woman, semicolon, without her, man is nothing." Jesus didn't do anything like this. He communicated God perfectly. There was no bias. Are you with me? How are we communicating God to other people? When people look at you and me, can they say we are a great representation of who Jesus is? When this sunk in, as I was studying this stuff out, I just sat there for 15 minutes and I just cried. I couldn't even go further. I realized I got so much to grow in. I got so much to be like Jesus. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, as we celebrate Father's Day today, we got to ask ourselves the question, how are we representing Jesus? Do we radiate the glory of God? We need to. In our homes, at our workplaces, as we come in contact with people, people ought to see us and see Jesus. People ought to see our lives and give glory to God. Let us become men and women that make Jesus attractive to others. That's what Jesus did for us. Like I began to say on Thursday night, the first Adam, the first man, needed a bride, and God gave him one in Eve. The second Adam, Jesus, also needs a bride. Guess who that is? That's us, collectively, as a church. In every day, God is preparing you and I for his son. Oh, I gotta stop preaching. That's what this is. And that's why it's going to take our whole lives, the entirety of it, for all of us to radiate that glory of Jesus, that glory of God. God is preparing a bride for his son. And so I hope you're ready, because the other side is going to be awesome. Happy Father's Day.
We're going to pray, and then we'll have a father slideshow after that, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, God, you are awesome. Your word is awesome. God, as we just reviewed, Father, Jesus is the exact representation of you. He is your word in human flesh, God. And you communicated so perfectly who you are, God. You are incredible. Your love is incredible, and we love you, Father. I'm so grateful to have a perfect Father in heaven who has been communicated to me perfectly through Jesus Christ. And that's an incredible message of love and sacrifice. God, we're so grateful for our fathers here that you have given us. No one would be here without a father on earth. And God, you are incredible to give us good fathers. Father, I thank you for all of them that are here, God, and all of them that are at home and other places, God. And especially we remember those who have passed on, God. Remember them fondly, God, and with love, Father. Because you have given them to us. Without them, we would not be here. God, I just glorify you, Father. I want to give praise to you, God. And Father, help us to communicate Jesus and communicate God as well as you have communicated yourself to us, God. It's a hard thing to do, but God, Jesus is perfect at it. And Lord, I pray that we can all get into the Word of God and truly just soak up who Jesus is so that we can also radiate who you are, God. And I pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, or deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating. And yet don't look too good, nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things that you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. If you can take one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more, you'll be a man by sunrise.